What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We are on episode 41. As always, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. This morning with me, as I pretty much, as I always say, that he's pretty much here every week, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? Yeah, I'm pretty much around sometimes.
Yeah, we're like the podcast crew. That's right. I would say. You've only missed one, I think.
One, I believe.
Yeah. One out of 41. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good record.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not 41. It's not 100%, but, you know.
I mean, I've been here all the time.
That's right. So, but, I mean, yeah, you do on the site and all. So.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense for me to kind of be on the podcast.
Yeah.
But, anyways.
So what's going on this week?
A lot of stuff, man.
Yeah?
A lot of stuff going on as we get closer to Christmas time. A lot of reviews, so.
Nice.
So, yeah, we will start out with our reviews this week. And you reviewed a different product because you don't typically look at products like this, but I figured you would like it. So, you took a look at D-Link's DCS2630L. Which is their full HD 180-degree Wi-Fi camera. So it's like a, sort of like a security camera, I would say.
Yeah,
but it's more or less it's sort of like the drop cam or something like that. It's kind of like plug and play, you know, for the more consumer-based person, not for somebody who's, you know, looking to, you know, put a bunch of these up. It's more consumer-based. You know, they have an app and everything like that. So how is it?
It was pretty sweet, actually. I mean, D-Link wants you to put up a bunch of them, and they've got, like, a recording thing that, like, a hard disk drive for it. But, I mean, it's just, you wouldn't use this in, like, a store or anything, right? Yeah. I don't think. Like, it's too big, it's too obvious in my for that, I would say. But, for, like, for just setting it up in your home, this isn't something that, I ever would have thought that I would have, like, wanted or needed. But, like, once you set it up, it's really, really cool, because it streams to D-Link servers, and you can access the live stream at any time from your smartphone. So, and it works like flawlessly for that. So it was really cool to be able to like go to work and then like pull it up and like see what's going on in my house, watch my dog, make sure she's not doing stuff she's not supposed to, which she obviously is. And at least I could witness it. And
yeah,
but yeah, it was super simple. I mean, the package came with like 5 pieces. You can wall mount it. Or you can just set it up. It's got a pretty good base for that. I wall mounted it, and it might have taken me 10 minutes to set up. Just drill a couple holes and wall mount it. And then, like I said, this isn't something that I thought I needed. It's really not something that I normally would like mess with. I'm not a networking guy, but you can attest to that from CES stuff. pretty terrible at that.
Yes.
But you just turn it on and there's a QR code that comes with it. You scan it with the app once you install the app on your smartphone, and it, like, sets the whole thing up. Okay. So it's pretty sweet. There's nothing to it. You don't enter anything. It just sets up it on your network.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, it seems like these products are becoming more commonplace because, you know, one, they're making them so much easier, just like you said, to set up. Because,
yeah,
you know, I had in the past reviewed Wi-Fi cameras, and they weren't the easiest thing to set up. You kind of had to be a technical person to set it up. You had to know your IP address. You had to install certain software. You had to do all this kind of stuff. You know, and the interfaces.
You have to go on your router settings and stuff.
Yeah, and the interfaces were pretty bad, not really user-friendly. And it seems like these new products, I think especially with the release when DropCam came out, and the prices aren't so bad, right? I think this is their highest end one.
This is the very top,
Yeah, and this was $200, which isn't horrible if you think about the amount of, I would say, you know,
the product you're getting
and the security that you're going to give yourself. For $200, you know, you give yourself that peace of mind. And
definitely,
you know, that's why, like, I have one that's sort of like this. It's the Spot Cam, which is just like Drop Cam almost. And, you know, it was, I think, when I reviewed it, it was $100, $150. And it's the same thing. You have the app and everything. And for that price, it gives me peace of mind that I can, you know, protect my home. You know, not protect, but, you know.
But you can get on and see what's going on.
Yeah, you can see what's going on. And if something happens, you can go back and look at it. And, you know, things like that. So I think these are becoming very popular, and I think that this is D-Link's first product line of these, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This is their fourth one in the line.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah, and like you said, it's really cool. It's got SD recording, so you can, record real time. You set up motion sensors or sound sensors on it, and then it only records when it's triggered. So that's cool because it saves you recording space. The biggest downside, the software was super slow.
Yeah, that's what you said in the review. I think it's something that they're going to improve with. Yeah. Obviously, with software, it's something that you can.
This is really new. Like we said, this is really new for them.
Yeah.
And so I think we're looking at some, not like alpha or beta, but I mean, it's early release, right? So even since I installed it, the first thing I had to do was do a firmware update on it. So they're obviously improving things. And they changed the site, actually, in the week that I was testing it.
Okay. So they're making improvements.
They're working on it, yeah. And there are several features on Android. They claim that there's more on iPhone and the iOS system, but I wasn't able to test that. But they're all supposed to be coming to Android, so you'll get full functionality on every platform. Nice. Yeah, it's just a good product.
Nice. It's good to see companies that are known for networking, because that's what D-Link is known for,
come
out with devices like this, because a lot of the other ones aren't from those type of companies, and a lot of times there's issues and everything like that, so...
Yeah, I think you're right.
And this makes sense for D-Link as well, because if you have a networking product and you already have somebody using, say, a D-Link router, it makes it much easier to implement these, I feel.
You're just going to see a brand that you know and trust.
Yeah, so it's good to see that. So what did you say, $199, right?
$199,
yep. Yeah, $199.
And high-quality camera, too. Real good camera.
They go down. Do you know how much the lowest one is?
Mm-mm.
Probably, I would say 129 or something, I would think.
I would actually maybe guess slightly lower than that.
Yeah.
Let's see, cameras. Because they got some pretty basic ones, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be hard to tell because they have outdoor ones too, and they have pan and tilt versions.
Okay. Well, anyways, if you're looking to add some security to your home or just peace of mind, definitely check out D-Link's range of Wi-Fi cameras. From what Derek says, seems like he is pretty satisfied with his. So.
Yeah, I think they're doing a good job with that.
Yeah. So we will move on to a gaming keyboard that I took a look at this week, and it's not from a company you would expect a good gaming keyboard to come from. It comes from Salmon.
Yeah.
And this is their ZM-K700M, and I have to say that I was extremely impressed.
I don't think I've seen what you play with a keyboard as much as this one.
Yeah, so I really like this one, and it's not just about the backlighting. The backlighting is a huge thing, but it's just a solid keyboard.
Nice.
So many keyboards have all this extra crap, and they're not made well, and this one's solid. It's heavy. Cherry MX red key switches. It's just a nice, solid, well-done keyboard, and a lot of companies get away from that. You know, a company that actually really does good, solid gaming keyboards is TT Esports. I really like their keyboards just for the fact that a lot of them are just no frills, solid, mechanical switch, and that's all. For a lot of people, especially a lot of gamers, they don't want all that extra crap. They want something that's going to perform well, and it's all about performance, especially people who are into esports and playing competitively. They want a solid keyboard.
Yeah, you just want something that feels right every single time and doesn't feel like it's going to move around on you or anything.
Yeah, so this is a completely solid keyboard. That's what I could really say about it. It just works perfectly. It's nice and heavy. It has good weight to it. Not a whole lot of extra keys. It has 5 macro keys. That's it. So that can, get you into some,
You're probably not gonna play Warcraft with this.
Yeah, I mean it could. You could do.
You
some,
could,
you
but
could
like
some
those
MMO
guys
stuff.
Want like their like, their
yeah,
10, 15 macro keys. Etc.
You know, it does have some really cool modes as well. Yeah. There's a ghost mode, which actually disables every key on the keyboard, and you can set it so only certain keys are enabled. So, have you ever been playing a game and you accidentally hit the wrong key?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Always hit the console key.
Yeah, so you can disable any key that you want. Nice. Or disable all the keys and then enable different keys that you want. And that works with the backlighting. So only the keys that are enabled will light up. It's kind of cool like that. The backlighting is just awesome. So it's white LED backlighting, which we've seen a lot of RGB, but I really like the white LED backlighting. It just, you know, it just kind of fits the keyboard because, again, the keyboard is not super crazy or anything.
Is it plenty bright enough? Because a lot of times white isn't strong enough.
It's super bright. Obviously, I think there's 4 or 5 different brightness levels.
Okay.
There's a ton of different settings that you can do. You can enable certain keys. One thing that's really cool about it is typically, you know, a lot of keyboards you can enable the certain keys, right?
Yeah.
But with this one, I can turn all of the keys, say, like, in the different levels, I can turn all of, like, every key I can go up to, like, level 2, like, in brightness, right?
Oh, okay.
But then, like, say I want the WASD key to be even brighter, I can make those keys as bright as they can go and have the rest of the keyboard still lit up, but not as bright. I found that to be pretty cool. There's an equalizer mode. Actually, I think 4 different equalizer modes that will go with music, which I felt was really, really cool. One thing that's different about this keyboard, there's no software.
You talked about that. You have to do it all from the keyboard.
Yeah, so all of the lighting effects you have to change on the keyboard itself. All of the macros, which you can easily program in, it's all done on the keyboard itself. Which a lot of people may not like. I mean, I know it's a lot easier to do, but actually, I was kind of like, this is weird. And then when I actually did it, it was actually extremely easy to do.
Yeah, see, you described that to me, and I'm like, that sounds like you're blind programming.
Yeah, and it's not really, once you do it a couple times, it's really easy.
Okay.
I guess it's just something that you have to do. You know, when I first got the keyboard, I literally sat there for about 15 minutes and played around and kind of figured it out without any directions, and it wasn't that hard to figure out. You know, just kind of have to mess with it. And one other cool thing about the keyboard, which I haven't seen on any other keyboard that I've ever reviewed, is on the far right side, there's a little light bar. And this light bar, not only it will show you that, like, as you increase the brightness, the light bar will go up.
Okay.
And so after you're done doing that, after you start when you start typing, the light bar will go up in accordance to how fast you're typing. So it's kind of like a live view of how fast you're typing. In light, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's not like super crazy. It's not like something that's over the top. It's just kind of there. And I think that's pretty cool as well. So I've never seen that on a keyboard before, and it's just another little feature that the keyboard has.
Do you ever max it out?
Yes. But not by typing, just by mashing the keys.
Yeah.
Just to see if I can get it up there. But
I wonder, do you know how many words per minute it is?
I don't have no clue.
Gotta get some typist somewhere. Some receptionist, maybe?
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. Again, a solid keyboard. It is on slightly expensive side. It's $139.99. But again, it is just a solid keyboard. There's not many keyboards that have this many lighting modes. Obviously, the light bar on the side too. So, I mean, it's definitely something that if you're looking for a solid, really good keyboard, still gives you the cool lighting effects and everything like that.
That's right there with like Razer's mechanicals. So,
yeah,
price wise.
Yeah, but again, it doesn't have RGB backlighting and there is no software. So
that's true.
It kind of has its ups and downs, but I would definitely recommend it. It's a keyboard that I will definitely be using for a while, so I definitely like it.
Cool.
So moving on from that, I took a look at Audiofly's AF45 in-ear headphones, and these are the third step down. So over the past, I don't know, a couple months, I would say, we've been taking a look at Audiofly's in-ear headphone line. So we started with the AF78s, which were the best headphones I've ever used, or in-ear headphones I've ever used. Just amazing sound, just, you know, great comfort and everything. And then we moved down to the AF56Ms, and those still sounded really, really great. And now we're down to the AF45s, and the AF45s are only $35. So this fits into pretty much everybody's budget if you're looking to get a new pair of headphones or you want to replace the headphones that come with your device. And I do have to say, these are still very great. They sound really good, and that's the most important thing, is that these sound really good. And they're going to sound a lot better than the headphones that come with your device. At least,
you think?
Better than the ones that come with my iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you go to Walmart or something like that, and you need to pick up a pair of in-ear headphones to replace the ones that came with your they come with your device. They just get broken. Yeah. They're not well made. You know, and the, you know, you go in there and the cheapest ones are around $20 or something. Spend the extra $15 and get these. They're extremely well made. They have a nice braided cable, which isn't going to rip or tear, which is, that's one of the things
that's pretty legit.
That's what breaks on most of these, sets of headphones that come with your devices, is that the cabling is rubber and that just breaks. I'm sure if you use an Apple device, I'm sure you know that by now, you know, and one other cool thing is that the connector, the three and a half millimeter connector, it's a little bit longer. And the reason they did that is because if you're using a case on your mobile device, this makes it easier to put in, you know, it makes it easier. Yeah, makes it more compatible, I would say.
Because, and it's a narrow plug too.
Yeah. So it just makes it easier to do that. So yeah, these are just really good. The only thing I did notice, which was kind of weird, I don't know if it was just me, but when I was testing these, after about, I would say like an hour, I kind of had some irritation in my ears and I had to take them out and put them back in. But it wasn't like, when I put them back in, it was fine. I don't know what it was. You know, as I've said with these, with the AF78s, is if you don't, these come with silicone ear tips. They come with four different ones.
Yeah.
If you don't like these, you can go to the, you can buy the Comply ones.
Yeah.
Which are a little bit expensive, but those are the, what's it called? Memory foam ones.
Yeah.
And those are made for these as well. So if you want to do that, you can. They're still comfortable. It's just I had that weird irritation after about an hour. I'm not sure what that was about.
Yeah, that's weird.
But again, for $35, you really can't go wrong. The sound quality is great. Again, these are made by musicians. They're designed by musicians. So when you're listening to music, these sound amazing.
They sound like the music it's supposed to.
Yeah. A lot of things that you wouldn't notice in certain songs you pick up with these, and that's through the entire line, which says a lot about Audiofly. So definitely check these out. Again, you know, these are perfect. It is that time of year. Perfect stocking stuffer, not that expensive.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Get somebody a good quality pair of headphones that are going to last, and that's a big thing, because when you're paying only $35 for a set of headphones, again, a lot of times they'll last you a year, maybe less. You know, these are pretty good, so.
Yeah.
So yeah,
nice.
Definitely good to see
another good product from them. So yeah. Basically, you like their whole line.
Yeah, I like their whole line. I would definitely recommend it. In any of the price ranges that they are,
for what they are, they're all good.
Yeah, they're all good. Nice. And definitely the AF78s are the best I've ever heard. Most comfortable, best sound. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So talking about mobile stuff. I took a look at a mobile portable charger, and these are extremely popular. I think everybody I know has one of these. A lot of people using their mobile devices as their sort of main computing device, or we're always on our phones. Everybody's looking at a screen all day long.
Yeah.
You know, these batteries and these devices just don't last. And that really has kind of made a market for these portable chargers. And we took a look at one. From a company called Chiro, who wanted us to check out their Power Plus 3, which is a 13,400 milliwatt amp hour charger. And these are pretty much all the same. All the companies have these. It's all about the thing that separates these is obviously looks and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, capacity. This is pretty high capacity. This was able to recharge my iPhone 5S 4 times.
Really?
Which is a lot.
You know,
that's going to definitely last me a day, if not longer.
For sure.
You know, this one, they use premium Japanese batteries, which a lot of people don't really... We're not really sure what's in a lot of these, but Shiro advertises that that's what they use. So with power components, we know that Japanese stuff is good. Looking at computer power supplies, all of the components in most power supplies are all Japanese made. So... You know, I mean, I guess it's a good thing to advertise. So this one has that. This says dual outputs, 2.4 amp, 1 amp, so you can charge a tablet and a smartphone at the same time. If you're just charging a smartphone or just charging your tablet, obviously connect it to the 2.4 amp because it's going to charge faster.
Mm-hmm.
Has indication LEDs to let you know how much capacity is left. And it's only $28.50 on Amazon. I mean, it's not expensive.
Yeah, I kind of expected it to be a little bit more because you're talking about quality components and stuff. But they pretty much keep the price right level with anything else.
Yeah, so not super expensive. Again, perfect this time of year, stocking stuffer item. It just makes sense. The only thing that is a little bit that it's kind of not worries you, but it kind of does worry you about this product.
It's a little bit odd.
It's only a 6-month warranty.
Yeah.
So that's not a whole lot.
It's odd.
A couple weeks ago, we took a look at one from Tech Armor, and theirs had a 2-year warranty on it. So, you know,
I just don't know why you wouldn't just throw a year on it at least. 6 months makes it sound like you're not behind your product.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Now on Amazon, it has 87% 5-star rating, which is pretty high.
That's pretty good.
So it doesn't seem like a lot of people have these have died on a lot of people, at least not yet. So far, I mean, I can't say anything wrong with it. The only thing is that warranty is just like, you know, most products you want at least a year, you know?
You almost never use them, right?
Right.
Typically, everything you buy dies after your warranty period ends, but it's just like the period they put on it is almost like them saying it. We for sure, this is a good product. It's going to last you. We're behind it, you know? Yeah. So if you put on a really short warranty like this, it's like, really? You don't trust it to last more than 6 months?
Yeah, that's why I really liked about Tech Armor, because a lot of their products, their cases and their iPhone cables have a lifetime warranty. And the battery that we looked at, or the portable charger that we looked at, had a 2-year warranty, which is still pretty good, I feel, you know. So 6 months...
For something that cheap, yeah.
Yeah, 6 months is just...
Like, $28 is cheap, but if I have to pay $28 every 6 months for one, that's...
Yeah, and the thing is, the other one's $10 more. $10 more isn't bad for paying for that peace of mind, knowing that, okay, if this breaks, I can get a new one.
Exactly.
You know, so...
And maybe this Chiro unit won't break, but, I mean, the warranty says that it might.
Yeah.
Warranty period, you know? It's just... I don't know why you wouldn't, I guess. Like, do you really expect your products to, like, all fail after 6 months? Otherwise, it's not going to cost you, because it shouldn't... You know, the vast majority of them shouldn't fail.
Yeah.
So, maybe something to think about, Chiro.
Yeah, so that's the only issue I had with it. But other than that, it's a good product. And all of these are pretty much the same. It just all depends on capacity, obviously quality build and components. So
yeah, which so, it looks real nice and seems real nice. But
yeah, I mean it's one I'll bring it with me to CES, cool. Because I'll definitely need power on the go. So
yeah.
So, sure. We'll move on to our articles this week. And we actually had 2 articles this week, so a pretty full week of content from us. The first one is the one that we like to post every month that it seems like everybody likes, is the 20 of the worst PC setups. And this is obviously for November. And it's just funny to see some of these are just really bad. this month, we didn't have any like super horrible, like disgusting people, I would say. Most of these are kind of like... in between, or you know, you needed to, you know, they just have a bad setup of their home for the holidays or something.
Their equipment is super old,
Or something like that. You know, but this article pretty much shows off people who have really bad PC setups. You know, just you know, on boxes or just not clean people or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Using
a box for a case that's not too classy.
Yeah, and a lot of these people, it seems like it's a big thing that a lot of people's either keyboard or display dies on a laptop. It's
just like
a lot of these are laptops where they ripped off the screen and are using a different LCD, or the keyboard dies and they're using another keyboard or something like that. It just seems like it's like a common thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen that. My old roommate used to have, he had a Dell XPS, an old one, and the screen died and he just hooked it up to a monitor and used it for another couple of years.
Yeah, so this article is really funny. Definitely take a look at it, because I really can't explain to you all of these, because they're just hilarious, I think.
Yeah.
But definitely check out the article, and we do it every month. So if you want to see some really bad setups, we have a whole category of these, which are pretty bad.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yes. And talking about, you know, going from bad PC setups to awesome ones, it is Friday, so it is Case Mod Friday. Where we cover a case monitor build that's been completed in the community, and this week we have a desk.
Done a couple of those so far.
Yeah, we've done a couple of these. This one is just called Ultimate Custom Desk PC. And this one is pretty awesome. This guy custom fabricated his own desk, obviously put a PC inside. He put...
Looks like he's got a 4-channel car audio amp in there.
Yeah, he has car audio in the desk, all custom made, custom water cooling. Really well done. The colors, I love these colors.
Yeah.
And what's crazy?
Ultraviolet with green looks great every time.
What's crazy is this kid, because it seems like he's a kid. He seems like he's younger.
Yeah.
He had a laptop,
mm-hmm.
and was researching getting a new computer, and.
And this is where he went?
This is how he went. And he had never built a computer before, apparently.
Well, he obviously had some skills to begin with.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got rigid tubing, tri-SLI. Can't tell what the board is. He's got 4 hard disk drives. For whatever reason, he's got 4 drives on blocks, water blocks.
Yeah, I think it's just because to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an expensive addition. Maybe it's for cool. Obviously, it's for cooling, but maybe it's because he's got very little flow in there. Maybe.
Yeah.
He's got fans built into it too.
Yeah, it's a really cool build. It's cool to see somebody do this who maybe wasn't even into computers really.
Yeah, maybe he was a car audio guy.
Yeah. I mean, we're not really sure. There's not a whole lot of information on the build log. But it just was a cool build. I love desk builds, especially custom desk builds like this, because not only did they build the PC, but they custom made the desk to fit all these components, and everything is built into it. He actually has the on the front of the desk. He has a car audio.
Double DIN.
Yeah.
Monitor.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's just
something. I think he might have 2 of them, or he's got another screen. At least,
yeah, it's a really well done. I would love to sit in front of this every day. I feel like it's something that I need.
Oh yeah, it's something you need in your life.
Yeah, it's something I need in my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really well done. Definitely check it out. It is the latest one on Case on Friday, and again, every Friday we do have these builds. So if you're looking for inspiration for a build or want to just check out a lot of awesome builds, we feature one every Friday. And we've been doing that for quite a long time, so definitely check that out. And stay tuned, because at the end of the year, which is coming up in just a few weeks, we will be doing our, I think we're going to do top 5. Top 10 seems like a lot.
Yeah.
So we'll probably,
that really narrows it down.
Yeah, we're doing our top 5 favorite ones that we featured. So definitely excited about that.
Nice.
Yes. So now it is news. News for the week, and the big news, ugh, man.
the big news is bad news.
The big news is not good news, I would say, for AMD. No. So last week, AMD released their Radeon Crimson software, which was a big deal for them. It's the first time they updated their software in quite a long time. And there were reports over the past weekend where the software would lock the fan speed of the GPU at 20%. And reports came out that it actually killed people's graphics cards.
Yeah.
Killed their graphics cards. So you install software, you're looking at the new settings, you start playing a game, and your system more than likely reboots or something, and you turn it back on, your graphics card's dead.
Yeah.
How would you feel?
I'd be throwing things. Yeah. And then I'd realize that I made the mistake of buying AMD in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal because a lot of people have these cards, and it's not like, You know, you're paying over $200 or more
at least
for a card, and something like this happens.
I think I saw a Fury X got done.
I don't know.
Got cooked.
Like, but there was reports all over the internet, all over Reddit. You know, it was a big deal. And AMD acknowledged it over the weekend, said that they were aware of the problem. It's only select GPUs. Not everybody had the problem, obviously. And a lot of people, hopefully your system just rebooted.
Yeah.
You know? And
hopefully.
And people over the weekend came out with fixes. On Monday, AMD did release a update to the software that fixed it. But it was just like, you know, it's just one bad. It's like, you know, you thought this would be kind of like a turning point for AMD. As far as PR goes, you know, this was a big deal for them. And then this had to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's not like some just people who hate AMD made this up or whatever.
Yeah,
this actually really happened, and AMD acknowledged it. And yeah.
If they were smart, they would have said nothing and just fixed it. Because yeah. Now they're like, oh yeah, we did do that. You could have just pretended that it didn't happen.
Yeah, at least they were quick to come out with a fix. The reports came out over the weekend. The fix was up on Monday, which isn't, you know, horrible.
No, I mean, if your card got cooked.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I mean, everybody should still be under warranty because it was all new cards, right?
Two 290Xs and...
Oh, well yeah. Then, some people are... Is AMD?
I don't know.
Did they say anything about taking care of that?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. Hopefully they do. Would just be good on their part to do it because it's kind of their fault that it happened.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Your software killed your hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to think at first like, oh, how stupid to leave it, like to run it like that. But when you're in game, you're not watching that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's the thing is you're not.
You get in a long session, I mean, you can easily cook it.
Yeah, well, it's just say you're playing and then you see some artifacting or something, you're like, what's going on? And a lot of times you're not just going to be like, oh, I better turn this off. You're like, oh, what's going on?
If you're in the middle of a match, no way.
Yeah, like, what's going on? And then maybe your system reboots and then you try to turn it back on and it doesn't even, you know. Yeah. Like,
your display doesn't come back up?
Yeah, like, you don't notice these things, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, AMDs run so hot. 20% is like nothing.
Yeah, so...
Their fans probably are, like, 80% in-game.
Yeah, so it's kind of a big deal. You know, they did release the update that fixes it, but I feel like it's something that they should have seen, or I don't know how they didn't see it. I don't know. I mean, not everybody was affected. It was a select number of not just cards, but, like, you know, some cards just weren't affected, some were. I don't know how it went down.
It was bad. It was, some bad luck was involved, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, ugh. Never seen anything from the green side.
Yeah, at least not.
I really hope AMD, like, opens up some sort of a hotline for people to turn their cards into them, get replacement cards, and they should probably honestly give them like a game or something like that for the trouble.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, again, as I said, I thought things were kind of turning around. This Crimson software was kind of like, okay, we're actually
really cool.
Yeah, we're actually finally doing something to get people excited about AMD again, you know, and then this happened. It's good to see that they fixed it quickly. I guess that's the only good thing you could take out of this.
Yeah.
Is that they fixed it quickly. That is basically it.
There are reports, too, that, like, the software itself was not entirely working correctly. Like, overclocks were getting locked on and you couldn't turn them off.
Yeah, there's a lot of different reports coming out there.
Strange things.
Yeah, just AMD needs to really do a better job, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't do that.
Yeah. So,
anyways.
Moving on from AMD, we will talk about Dell, and we'll talk about Thunderbolt 3. So the new Dell revamped their XPS line not that long ago. And it obviously upgraded things to Skylake and did some other things. And the one thing that a lot of people didn't realize is that these new Dell XPS systems have the new USB-C Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah.
And I actually did an article on this, not probably when it first was released, but
a while ago.
Yeah, so a lot of these newer motherboards, higher, I would say on the higher end, have the USB-C Thunderbolt 3 controller. This controller is awesome. What it is it's Thunderbolt 3, third revision of Thunderbolt 3, which gives you on the USB-C connection. It uses a USB-C connection, but it gives you, what else does it give you? I'm trying to think now.
40 gigabit per second.
Yeah, it's 40 gigabit per second up and down bandwidth, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But it combines super speed, USB, Thunderbolt, PCI Express, and power all in one.
Right.
Which means on one of these connections, you can run two 4K monitors. which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is being, you can use this as a charging port. You can use it for obviously Thunderbolt connections as well as USB, all of that stuff, all on one. And these new XPSs actually have two of these ports. on them, so you can do a lot of different things with this. Not only storage, obviously displays. I'm not sure if these are running. This runs the power like it does on the MacBook. I'm not sure. But I think this is a really big thing for Intel and for Thunderbolt 3, because Thunderbolt is something that's not highly used.
But it should be.
It should be, but I think now that they've kind of married the connector with USB-C, which seems like it's getting adopted slowly. You know, we see it on motherboards. Obviously, it's on the MacBook. USB-C is going to, I think it's going to become the standard because the plug is interchangeable.
Yeah, it's just going to take a while because of how much USB there is out there.
Yeah, but once it does, I think this is going to be a big thing because you won't, you know, all of these products will have that connection now. In the future, so I think this is a big thing for Intel, and you know, a lot of people don't realize how powerful Thunderbolt 3 is and what you can do with it. I mean, you know,
anybody that does any large file transfers should be interested in Thunderbolt.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who do, especially like people do photography and, and videography and things like that, they all have Thunderbolt drives. It just makes
videography
sense.
Especially when you're transferring video off of a camera onto a computer, Thunderbolt is like it.
Yeah, especially if you're doing something like 4K and something like that. So it's great to see this come out. This is the first PC or the first laptop to have this, the Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C together.
Nice. Aside from the MacBook, right?
The MacBook isn't Thunderbolt 3.
Oh, it's not?
I don't believe so.
Okay. It's definitely Thunderbolt, but I didn't realize it. I thought it was 3.
It's USB-C connection on there. That's the only connection. I'm not sure if it's Thunderbolt or not. It could be, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not a Mac person, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But with this, this is a lot of bandwidth that you're going to get in a single connection. And that's kind of the
Basically, like, you wouldn't buy the laptop for it, necessarily, but if you're buying one, this is something to make you get.
Well, I mean, the thing is you might, because, you know, if you're a designer or something and you want a mobile experience, such as one of these XPSs, but then you want to take it into the office and connect it to two 4K monitors, most laptops aren't going to run that.
No.
But this one will, because it has the Thunderbolt and has the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah.
I really like this. This is kind of something more geeky, I would say, for us, but... For me, it's awesome. And again, there are a few motherboards. The higher end ones do have this, Thunderbolt 3 as well. But you have to kind of look, because not a lot of them do.
I guess that's what I meant by, like, it's not going to be one of the main selling points you're going to see advertised.
No, you're not.
But it's something you do want.
It's something you do want. If you look at the features and look what you can do with it, it's something you definitely want.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, next time you're looking to buy a laptop, you know, in the future, definitely see if this has it, because this will give you a lot of connectivity options for sure.
And those new XPSs are sweet.
Yes, they are. So, let's talk about Corsair. All
right. This is a very interesting product.
Yeah, so this was actually announced yesterday. Yeah. They announced a new Hydro Series H5 SF, which is a low-profile liquid CPU cooler, and it's made more or less specifically for mini ITX boards.
Yeah.
Small form factor, and it doesn't use the typical radiator that you're used to seeing.
Yeah.
If you look at this, this is something like System Integrator type deal would kind of use.
This looks even almost like server style.
Server style, System Integrator, really small, Steam Machine like.
I couldn't even figure out what I was looking at first.
Yeah, it is extremely small. I would say go to our article and look at it.
You got to see the other pictures other than the first one.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a blower style system, much like you see on all of NVIDIA's current GPUs and a lot of AMDs as well. So, and then I'm sure it's just blasting air through that tiny radiator in it.
Yeah.
So
it will be interesting to see how loud it would be, right?
Yeah, because GPUs are not known for being quiet.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is made to cool your CPU. I would assume it has to perform better than the stock.
Yeah, that doesn't take much.
Yeah, But it's a really cool design. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's $80 though.
Yeah, so it's not
cheap. Which isn't bad, but it's also not cheap. And I don't know. It's kind of like that's not the next cheap step up from the stock cooler, right? So to me, this has to perform like at least 120 millimeter cooler level, maybe even bigger.
I would say, you know, 120, you know what I mean? Because again, you are small, fitting it in a very small form factor. You know, when you're getting into the small mini ITX in the ITX cases, there's not a whole lot of these cases that support larger coolers either. You know, so I would hope somebody would be doing a review of this. It would just be cool to see the performance and what it can really do.
Yeah, I think we should do a review of this.
Yeah, if you want to check one out, I could probably get you one.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I've got the board. They have it pictured on.
Oh, you have that small Asus. Oh yeah, you do. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. I would say. I would love to see performance results on it and how loud it is. Obviously, it doesn't seem like insulation is all that complicated on it either, which is kind of nice.
No, it's kind of neat. Little riser system on the back.
Yeah, looks like they have a little thing that connects to the motherboard.
Though you probably—that's not a big deal. Putting that little platform off the end.
Yeah, I don't think
so. So you'll have to take out the motherboard screws to install that, but that's probably not a big deal.
Yeah. So it seems like it would be something. I don't know. Like I said, it's all about performance and how loud it is. Because even if something performs really well, you don't want it to sound like a jet engine either.
No, and like, you know, if you've used a stock like NVIDIA cooler, you'd know when those things are going. You know,
yeah,
it's just in the background.
Yeah, so definitely, maybe in a couple of weeks we'll get you one.
Yeah, for next year.
Yes, yes.
Got a small pile of products to review.
Oh, we have a lot of products. We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast for sure. Yeah. Going from Corsair to Fantex. Now, last week we talked about their power supply splitter. Yeah. I thought that's an awesome product. I think for $30 to be able to power two systems from one power supply just is awesome, and I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. So now they announced the Enthu Mini XL dual system case, and this case, the case itself has been out for a while.
Okay.
But what they're doing is they're putting together a system that comes with the power supply pre-installed.
Gotcha.
And it comes, so this case has the ability to have a mini ITX, a full size, or I think it's a full size ATX and a mini
ITX.
I think.
The one, is this the one that Derek, the other Derek reviewed?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, it's a full size, full ATX and a mini.
Mini ITX. And the case itself does not come with a mini ITX upgrade kit installed.
Right.
So this comes with it pre-installed. It comes with the splitter pre-installed and all of that.
Okay.
So it's just like one system. So it's pretty much they kind of just took these accessories that make the case better, and now they're selling the case with these accessories pre-installed, all ready to go, so you don't have to do anything, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and it's great. Like I said, Fantex just seems like one of these companies that like are just making things that just make sense.
Dude, that's a smart bunch over there, honestly.
Yeah, so you have the ability to have two systems in one case, one single power supply, all ready to go. You just buy the case, and you obviously buy your components, and you're good to go.
Yep.
There should be a higher associated cost with this, obviously, but it's not going to be super, you know, it's not going to be much
more expensive. No, do you remember how much this was?
I don't know.
The standard one, I mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
That review was a while ago.
I guess, what do you think? Maybe $50 more?
Maybe a little bit less.
It's got the power supply splitter, and it comes with
maybe probably like 40.
Okay. 40. Usually more. Fantex is really, really, I don't know how to, the pricing is not bad at all, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's very agreeable.
Yeah, so... Yeah, definitely. If you're looking to do a dual system build, this is a case that's completely 100% made for it.
Yeah,
You don't have to worry about anything except for buying the components.
Who do you see doing this? Because I can't see doing this.
Well, here's the thing: is that a lot of people, they have a PC for gaming,
Right.
And they have PC. They have another system that they use to stream record or whatever.
Or just regular browsing or whatever.
Yeah, it's just, or they have a server or something. You know, there's a lot of people that have a main PC and they have a server for doing programming or different types of things. You know, it could be a lot of different things. I would say the most popular and biggest thing these days would be streaming, right? So because they don't want to take away from their game by encoding and streaming or anything like that.
Yeah.
So they have a second system that they stream to, you know, and a lot of people use certain game capture devices, Game Capture HD or something like that, and then they send that to a second system that streams for them. Especially a lot of professional streamers do it that way.
Just doing the uploading and encoding?
Yeah, it's doing the encoding and uploading on a completely separate thing.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I think that is, for the time being right now, that is probably the number one use case for this.
Gotcha.
Secondly, I would say would be somebody who is doing some type of high-level programming, and they're using an asset server or something like that where they need a server to actually test and run their code.
Mm.
You know.
And so they just want to do that all from one machine?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is a lot of people have these asset servers that are online, but a lot of people might want them. You know, a lot of people do it locally before they push it out, some stuff like that. So I think those are the two biggest use cases. There could be, there's a lot more. You could just, I want two systems in one case.
More individualized needs.
Yeah, so it all depends on what you're doing, but I think it's cool that Fantex has put this all together.
Yeah. Somebody with the right skills could do a really cool water cooling build in one of those, too.
Yes. So we'll talk about an interesting story, and I think you might find it interesting because you've got into photography in the past year or 2 years or so.
A couple of years now, yeah.
So it is the end of the year, and Flickr, which I don't know a lot of people know. I've been on Flickr for a long time, actually.
It's been around.
It was one of Yahoo's first acquisitions.
Yeah, what would you say, like 15 years maybe?
Yeah, so Flickr is a big community where you can upload, save photos. It's basically photo storage, but you can share photos. You can, you know, it's been around for a long time. And it was one of the first, when I first started, you know, I got a good camera. I uploaded all my stuff to Flickr. It was just, that's what I use. And I'm pretty sure I still have a pro account on Flickr, actually.
Huh.
But it's the end of the year, so they did their end of year
stats.
Adding the end of year stats, and the number one camera that was used to take the photos was the iPhone.
See, I don't find that as a surprise at all.
I don't find it as a huge surprise. The second thing I do find is a big surprise.
That it was still DSLR?
Is that the... Well, we'll just go through this first. So at 42%... the iPhone was the number one camera at 42%. Right. Second is Canon's EOS DSLR line, and then the third at 16% was Nikon's D line of cameras.
That's by company, right?
Well, it's by just the...
So they did a couple different stats.
Yeah, so this is by, you know, it could be an iPhone 4, it could be an iPhone 5, it could be an iPhone 6. With a Canon, it could be anything that's in the EOS line.
Right.
The DSLRs. Nikon, anything that's in the Nikon D line. Right. It's all by the information that's on the photo.
Yeah.
But the second stat, which I found is more interesting, is that out of all the photos that are taken, 39%, which is the most, are taken from a camera phone that are on the site.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not a huge surprise, but I still think it's pretty interesting because, you know, most people nowadays aren't carrying a point-and-shoot camera, you know.
Well, there's little to no point, honestly, point-and-shoot. People, it's a gimmick to buy one at this point because if you have a current smartphone, your camera is just as good as the point-and-shoot.
Yeah, it is. It's just cool to see that a lot of people, you know, I remember years ago carrying my phone...
Yeah.
And carrying a point-and-shoot camera.
I got a couple in the drawer right now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's, you know, so it's just interesting. I would say that a lot of people, you know, 39% out of the total, and then obviously it goes down to 31% on DSLRs.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little closer
when you
put all of them together.
And look, we're in the 3% on the mirrorless.
Yeah, which I'm a little sad about because I think they're awesome. But yeah. Most of them are not full frame cameras, so they're not considered. They're just not the professional standard, but they're kind of, it's kind of moving towards them.
Yeah, I think we both have Sony's. You have Sony, yeah.
Yes.
We both have Sony mirrorless cameras, which we I love mine.
Yeah, that's great.
And you love yours, and they're good because they're smaller, but they give you the ability to change all the settings and do everything. It's like a more advanced point and shoot.
Yeah, I would say it's a more refined DSLR, to be honest, because the only thing that's really missing from a DSLR is that the mirror.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the flip mirror. Other than that, it's a full... I mean, they're smaller, so the sensors are cropped, but you can get mirrorless with a full frame sensor.
Yeah, you can.
So it's just... to be honest, the reason why I don't think that they're more popular is because... when a photographer shows up to a shoot that somebody is paying them for, if they don't have a big DSLR, they're kind of looked at as like you must be an amateur.
Yeah.
So, but otherwise it makes, I mean, they have just as high of a megapixel or higher because they're all new and they're just as fast. There's no real downside to them.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the mirrorless. Yep. That's why I got one. And I went from a Canon EOS DSLR to a mirrorless, and I would never go back. So that should tell you something.
And when you're at an event like CES...
And that was the whole reason.
So nice. So nice.
That was the whole reason that I did, because I had a big DSLR. I had the battery pack on the bottom, which made it even bigger.
You got your 10-pound camera now.
Yeah, I have this big camera. And I was looking... And I heard so many good things. I watched so many reviews. I was just like, okay. And I don't think Sony isn't necessarily known. I mean, they are, but you know, they're not the Canon and they're not the Nikon, right? So when I decided to go for it, I was like, this better work, you know. And then I got the camera and I instantly fell in love with it. And it's just so easy and so. The biggest thing with us is when we go to CES and different events, we don't want this massive camera because we're walking all day and we're doing all that, and it just makes it so much easier.
Even with my A6000, it's like hanging off my neck all day. I still want that thing off.
Yeah,
and it's just a fraction of a full DSLR. So
yeah, for sure,
they are amazing.
Yeah, but like I said, this article is pretty interesting. I just found it that. You know, more people are using their, you know, I think it's been over the past few years, I think that more people are using their smartphone to take photos, and they're taking photos that, you know, family photos and things like that. It's not just, you know, like, oh, I'm out, I'm taking a photo.
That's what they'll use it for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they're taking, you can take good photos, so.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to, honestly. Why carry two devices when you can carry one that's just as good?
Exactly. So, our gaming news for the week, which is only one gaming news story.
It was pretty slow gaming news week.
Yes, because everything is out now.
Yeah.
So, talking about what's out, Fallout 4, if you go into the console commands, you can actually load up some pretty cool battles. You know, pretty much insert NPCs into the game and watch them battle it out. And this is becoming a big thing, which I didn't even know about until I found the story. So somebody did this crazy epic battle, which is 300 Brotherhood of Steel versus 30,000 Deathclaws. And of course, they made a video for it.
Yeah.
And everything like that. And it's awesome. I actually watched the entire thing. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. I'm a huge fan of these like massive battles. In games and things like that. I remember when the original StarCraft, and there was this one map that was like the biggest battle ever, and you actually got to play on one side of it. Was really cool. So this is kind of like the same thing, but obviously in Fallout 4. And these guys did a great job of kind of capturing the entire battle and showing you what it's about and the immensity of it and everything like that. Now, they had to be using some type of crazy hardware to record this, because that many NPCs, 30,000 NPCs, all on one map is pretty insane.
Yeah, it's definitely is. Gotta have some server action going on.
Yeah, so if you haven't checked out this video, definitely check it out, because it's pretty insane. I think it's awesome.
I wonder if they went like, 31,000 and it crashed.
Maybe. These guys, we linked to, they have a playlist of all their Fallout 4 stuff, and they have a few of these pretty epic battles that you could definitely check out. They're pretty cool.
Nice.
So if you're into that, you're into Fallout 4 and want to see what you can do with console mode, definitely check it out.
Yeah, gotta get on that Fallout 4.
I was thinking about this morning. I was like, I don't think that I'm going to be getting Star Wars or Fallout till I get back from CES.
Yep, well, it's going to have to be after.
Yeah, because I have just so much stuff going on.
There's just no way.
Yeah, there's no possible way I could get into a game right now, I don't think. So.
Not and enjoy it. I could install it and start it and turn it right off.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. So I'll be taking a look at the TT Esports Chronos AD gaming headset. I actually really like this headset. So TT Esports Chronos line has been out for a while now. And with the AD, they've really given it that esports feel. It's a lot less, because the Chronos versions have been out for a while. Yeah. And they've been a little bit, the bigger, kind of bigger gaming headsets. And this kind of like slims things down. Different headband that's adjustable to your head, smaller microphone, smaller ear cups, still really impressive sound, but kind of like that just esports feel of somebody who doesn't want something super heavy on their head.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely excited to actually really test that out. I guess I have to play some games to test this one out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's work then, so you're
allowed. Yeah, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you have this, and this works not only with PC, but works on mobile as well. So yeah, you have that, and I will be looking at a case from Be Quiet. It is their Silent Base 600, which is a step down from the Silent Base 800, which was their flagship. This one is a little bit smaller, comes with less stuff. We did get the windowed version, which looks awesome. So we have a windowed version of this case. Pretty excited to take a look at that. I forget the price on this. But it's not overly expensive, and
the 800 wasn't even overly expensive.
Yeah, and so. It makes use of Be Quiet's fans, which are always, you know, obviously they're
Silent Wings, right?
Yeah, the Silent Wings fans, which are really quiet. So you have that with the case as well. Really solid case. I just did a video for it the other day.
Nice.
So we'll have that up as well as a review coming next week, and we have another case. Which I can't tell you the name of it because it's under NDA, but Corsair is coming out with a new case next week. Cool. That's all I can tell you, so definitely stay tuned for that. The very interesting case. It's nice. Cool. I really like it. Definitely, Corsair has made a name for themselves, you know, making cases, and this is one that a lot of people are going to like, I think.
Yeah.
And we may have some more reviews. I've been trying to get a lot of stuff done. As we said, we have a lot of product in because it is the end of the year. We're trying to get a lot of stuff done before Christmas time, and a lot of products have just come out in the past couple months, so we have a ton of stuff in to review, like literally a ton.
Yeah.
So, you know, not everything...
Probably too much.
Yeah, probably too much. But not everything that we talk about, obviously, in the podcast, we'll probably have some more stuff. I have a lot of stuff in here to review, so this is just stuff that I know that I'm definitely going to get done, but we might have some more stuff as well.
Yep.
And then tomorrow, which will be Saturday, probably most people you listen to the podcast will already be Saturday by the time you listen to this.
Yeah.
But we are doing a Valve Games Code giveaway, which will be announced on Saturday, which is tomorrow. And what this is a Valve Games Code. And Valve Games Code is a Steam code that gives you access to every game made by Valve.
Nice.
We'll be giving one away. The giveaway is basically we'll be running on Facebook. All you have to do is like Think Computers, and there's a couple of things that we want you to do, and then you're entered, and we will be randomly drawing a person.
Nice.
So the games code, all it is, it's like, you know, all of the games that come with the games code is like all of the Counter Strike, Day Defeat, Team Fortress yeah. 2, all of the Half Life games. All of the Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2. If you've never played both Portal games, if you've never played any of the Half Life games, which I feel are some of the best single player games on PC to go through and play, the story is really great. this is something you can go back and play and do that. Obviously, the latest Counter-Strike Global Offensive is included in that too. So definitely some online gaming there.
It's all current and future games, right?
Yeah, it's current and future. So if we ever see a Half-Life 3, you'll be getting that for free.
It's yours. It's a pretty epic giveaway right there.
Yeah, so I guess when I make the post, I'll go in and see how much all of these games are worth collectively.
Yeah.
But it's a good package. I mean, you're getting a lot of games, you know. Again, a lot of people, you might be off school or home from school, or I think a lot of companies still do that, like they take the last 2 weeks of the year off for accounting purposes or something like that. You know, a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, that was like a big thing a couple years ago.
I gotta get a job there.
Nah, you don't want to because then you're not getting paid.
They
give the last like 2 weeks of the year off for like accounting purposes or whatever it may be. So if you have a lot of time, this is going to be a giveaway that you want to get into, and it's going to end on Christmas. So Christmas will be giving you a Christmas present, which will be the Valve Games code. We only have one, so we'll be giving that away to you guys. I think it's just great because there's a lot of good games in there. You know, I would say the best games, in my opinion, in that pack would be the Half-Life series. Half-Life and Episode 1, Episode 2, I think. I'm not sure if there's an Episode 3. Actually, I can probably look it up. Hold on.
I'm a big fan of Left 4 Dead.
Yes.
Those are good games.
Lasers is not what I was looking for, damn it. Well, anyways. You know, the biggest ones, Counter-Strike, because that's a game that you can continually play. It's online based game. In the community, there's huge, so you'll be playing that for years. Portal games, I've actually never played. I think I played like 5 minutes of one.
What? But,
yeah, I heard those games are amazing.
Love me some Portal.
Obviously, like I said, Half-Life, the story mode, going through those is great. It's one of the best single player games for PC that I played. What else you got? You said Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead's a lot of fun. Survival mode, I've played a lot. Yeah. Team Fortress 2, another great game that you can play online with people. You know, it's just you have a lot. Oh, here it is. This is what I was looking for. Okay. Well, there's a thing called the Valve back catalog, which you'll get access to, which is a lot of really older games, like the original Half-Life and original Day Defeats and original Team Fortress. So you have all that, right? And then the current games, Day Defeat Source, Counter-Strike Source, Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Portal, Team Fortress 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Left 4 Dead, Counter-Strike Go, Portal 2, and Dota 2 is free, but you have all of those. So it's a great thing. And like I said, if Half-Life 3 ever comes out, you're getting it for free. So
yeah, nice.
And
whatever else Valve comes out with, because they're awesome.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned. Obviously, by the time you listen to this podcast, that giveaway will be up. Something we want to do for you guys, and we're able to do it. So
nice.
Yes, and I think that's it. How was your week? Did you do anything cool or see any movies? You're a movie guy.
Yeah, I did not. I got a bunch of Black Friday stuff. That was about it.
Oh, yeah, did we talk about that last week? Yeah, or didn't we?
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I got my new laptop, so I don't think I had gotten that yet.
Okay.
And then I got my next new laptop because the first one was not so good.
Oh, yeah, you had a dead pixel, right?
I had. It was like a crack in the screen behind the touchscreen.
Oh, that's weird.
It's really weird. Yeah, really, really fine. I couldn't see it at first, but
okay.
I got to set that up twice. That was fun.
But you got it back really quickly. And everything.
Yeah, it's Amazon, so you just go on and they send you the new one before you do anything with the broken one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I did a lot of work this week.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Yeah, no, I've been feeling better. I had been sick. I don't know if we really talked about it on the podcast, but I had been sick for a good while.
Yeah.
And I think this week was like the first week that I've actually been feeling better. I've been eating better, which is good.
Big part of that.
Yeah, so I think it's just it's just the whole thing. And one thing I did get this week is I subscribed to Quarterly, and they put together a box, which I have to research it because I usually do a blog post on my blog about it. I subscribed to Tim Ferriss, and so each quarter you get a box that he put together. But they sent me this biohack box, which has some stuff from him and some stuff from everybody, like other people. And so I'm not really sure if that's like his new box because, you know, or something. I don't know. But yeah. Anyways, this box had a bunch of cool stuff, and it has these like protein drinks. It had this MCT powder, which I guess is really good for you. It's a supplement. It has vitamins in it that are made. They're called Drink Well, and they're made if you're a drinker. I think I'm just gonna bring them to CES. So,
yeah, I was gonna say like an alcohol drinker.
Yeah, like an alcohol drinker. Gotcha. It has these things called sleep phones, which are headphones that like are built into like a headband that you wear when you sleep. Which I think is pretty cool because I have a problem falling asleep. It's been a thing for years for me. So like it's everything in this box. Well, the whole thing behind Quarterly is like you pick somebody, you pick a curator, somebody who you like, right? And they have different people on the site that you can follow, and they make a box and you don't know what's in it. I've been subscribed to Tim Ferriss one for a long time, and pretty much there's usually like three or four things in the box that I'll use, and then there's, you know, one or two that I may not use or something like that. Gotcha. So with this box, I will use everything in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is awesome. And it's $100. I didn't really go through and see how much, you know, what everything in the box is worth. But usually with his boxes, it's worth anywhere from $150 to $250. And it lets you try some stuff. So a lot of these are, you know, sample products or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You don't gotta, like, fully invest in whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can try it out.
Yeah. But yeah, that is basically it, I guess.
Yeah.
For the week. So definitely stay tuned for next week. We'll have a lot of products coming.
Yeah, and a lot of articles too.
Yeah, a lot of articles. It's end of year, so a lot of end of year stuff. I'm just trying to think because my like head is spinning right now. Because there's so much stuff to do, and if you would see the mound of products that I have to review, it's just out of control. But we're gonna try to get it all done. Just expect a lot of content from us, you know, over the next coming weeks and everything like that.
And then straight into CES,
and we'll have a ton of content, a lot of fun stuff with that. Yeah. We're doing some really cool stuff at CES, so definitely stay tuned for all of that. As always, guys, you can check out this podcast on iTunes, Think Computers, all one word, same thing on Android. There we have a specific RSS feed just for the podcast itself, so definitely subscribe to the RSS if you don't do the iTunes thing or the Android thing. And until next week, guys, catch you guys later.